Shout out Junie B. Jones. Hashtag World Book Day.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Make sure you are checking out the rest of the Locked On podcast network over at lockedonsports.com or on Twitter at lockedonnbanet. We're going to be previewing Tuesday's 3-game NBA DFS slate in today's show, so
Let's get to it indeed.
We will start with the first game of the day, and that is the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics heading back to Boston with the series tied 2-2 after the Bucks have now won the last two games, Game 3 and Game 4 in Milwaukee, with a slight change to their system, their defensive system, and playing a lot more Thon McCur in the lineup with John Henson out injured. Henson's currently listed as questionable for this game. The Celtics also have Marcus Smart listed as questionable. It'll be interesting to see what Joe Prunty does with the McCurr, Henson, Tyler Zeller front court combination, but you would imagine that things will be different from Game 1 and Game 2, where Henson was playing 33 and 37 minutes in those two games. If we go back to how things looked in Game 4, to get an idea of some rotational ideas, I think we'll see some different stuff from Boston. Obviously, if Marcus Smart plays, then you're going to see fewer to no Shane Larkin minutes, maybe a little bit less Semi Ojeleye, who played 17 minutes in this game. You might even get a little bit less of Terry Rozier, who struggled in Game 3 and 4, only 25% shooting in Game 4. He played 36 minutes, so he could potentially come down to 30 minutes. But otherwise, the rotation was fairly solid in Game 4. Big minutes for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Horford and Rozier, with Bainsey and Greggy Monro.
As Greg runs in, we realise this could get dangerous.
Taking the bulk of those backup or those centre minutes outside of when Horford plays there. On the Milwaukee side of things, another big McCurr game. He blocked 5 shots in each of Game 3 and Game 4 and played 31 minutes here, with Tyler Zeller starting and playing only 11. That, I imagine, that if Johnny Henson is out again, the Muppet, I think we get McCurr potentially starting. Regardless, he's going to play bigger minutes. And even if the Muppet is back, I imagine McCurr will be in over Zeller, given how well Thon played in those two games and the defensive flexibility he afforded the Bucks. We also saw Jabari Parker's minutes and his level of play improve in Game 3 and Game 4. While Jason Terry was out of the rotation, Malcolm Brogdon is starting for Tony Snell. And we had Matty Dellavedova playing over Terry and Shabazz Muhammad. And it gave the Bucks a level of success that I imagine will continue through into game five, more in terms of how that rotation is going to look, not necessarily the success part of it, but it could. The Celtics are favored by 3 in Game 5, and the total is 204.5 points. As I mentioned, we do need to check on the status of Marcus Smart and John the Muppet Henson. If Smart is out, it goes back to a similar situation that we saw in Game 4. If Smart plays, remember, it wasn't a lower body injury, so he should still be able to have a level of endurance happening. Yeah, game speed and practice speed are different things, clearly, but I think that we're not expecting Smart to come and ease back into 15 minutes. He'll be getting a pretty decent workload, whereas if Henson's out, then it's way more McCurr, like we saw in Game 3 and Game 4. But again, if John does play, I still think Thon will get a decent chunk of minutes, but probably won't be exceeding 30 like he did in Game 2. Sorry, not Game 2, Game 4. Point guards here, got Eric Bledsoe on FanDuel down at 7,500. Has not played fantastically well throughout this series. I wouldn't be really rushing to lock him in cash, especially with Marcus Smart's return potentially on the table. You can still use Bledsoe as a tournament guy, because I do think he's got a big game coming up at some point. I just don't know when that's going to be, and it's hard to get fully invested in using him as a cash game player. As for Rozier at 7,800, I'd be really steering clear of that in cash as well. The shot wasn't there for Rozier in game 3 and 4, and with Smart returning, there is a chance that Rozier does lose a couple of minutes. And we can all talk about how well Rozier has played this season, and we know that he's played well, but in reality, he was a third string point guard and has been a third string point guard. And even when we saw Smart go down earlier in the year, then come back, it bumped Rozier's minutes back down and Smart was playing more than him. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen straight away here, but the Celtics love what Smart can do. Smart can be a creative point guard, a good passer, an excellent defender, obviously. And Rozier is not some sort of bang him down shooter that's in this elite guy that's, you know, oh, Marcus Smart can't shoot, so we've got to play Rozier. Rozier's a better shooter. He's not a good one. So I would be a little bit cautious there with Tez. Matty Dellavedova is a minimum salary guy. Yeah, look, he played pretty well in game 4, but I'm not sure he's really a DFS option. At shooting guard, Malcolm Brogdon is at 4,200. He is the starting shooting guard now for Milwaukee. The production's not really there, but at that price, I do like throwing it into the tournament pool at least, because there's every chance that he could have 30, and he doesn't need to go for 50 to really give you tremendous value. He can give you 30, and it's already beaten that, especially with pricing looking pretty tight on FanDuel once again. As for Marcus Smart, he's at 5,000. I'd be more than happy to throw him into the tournament mix as well. As I said earlier, he's not a guy that's been out with a lower body injury that's caused him to not be able to work out and be totally rusty with fatigue. Look, his shot might be off, but man, that's Marcus Smart every day. He's still got a chance. He could rack up assists. He can get steals. He can get boards. He can do stuff. And I think he's a worthy guy to have a look at. Jaylen Brown's price is at 7,300 here. He's coming off a 53-pointer in game 4 against the Bucks. Absolutely no problem with using Jaylen. He's been fantastic throughout this series. While Chrissy Middleton at 8,500. Middleton's been awesome too. I just don't feel that Middleton's 63% three-point shooting and I think 65% overall field goal percentage is something that's going to stick, making me feel really cautious about considering him for cash. It'd really only be a tournament spot for him. For the small forwards, Yanni's at 11-3. I love that. The numbers haven't quite been there. They haven't actually needed Yanni to put up big numbers in game 3 and game 4. But back in Boston, I'm happy to get Adetokounmpo in at 11,300. Jayce Tatum's at 6,700. I don't really feel the big upside there. I feel the floor's a little bit shaky at that price too, so I'll pass. I do like Marcus Morris at 53. The numbers for him haven't been good lately, but I think that at that number, I feel decently confident that Morris can come out and put up a 25 or 26 despite the recent struggles that he has suffered through. While the Muppet John Henson's at 55, love what he did in the first couple of games, but with the ascension of McCurr, I'm not sure that the Muppet is going to be able to go past that. So he'd be a cautious tournament guy, but not strong. Jabari's at 5,200 and clearly has outplayed that the last two games. No worries with going back to Jabari Parker. More on a GPP setting than a cash game. Not my number one guy, but still something there. Al Horford at 8,000, I feel too expensive. Aaron Baines at 4,400. I'd love Baines at 4,000. He's consistently getting you about 20 points, but I don't think that at 4,400, it's a great option. And then you've got Monroe at 43 or McCurr at minimum salary. Of course, McCurr is an excellent guy to play if the Muppet is out, and we'll find out that before lineup locks. If Henson does play, I'd be intrigued to throw Thon into a tournament, but the appeal goes way, way down if Henson is actually playing. On DraftKings, the big difference here is the price of Eric Bledsoe at 6,300 really does give me some hope in using him, and I feel pretty confident there. I like Horford a lot more at 6,900 there as well, and Marcus Smart coming in at 4,400 is a really interesting tournament guy. I talked about Bainesy before. He's at 3,900 on DraftKings, and I feel like at 3,900, that's a really nice, cheap cash guy that you can plug in, get your 21 or 22 or 23, and then build around that with having salary to spare. Adetokounmpo under 10,000 feels like a real no-brainer. 9,900 for Yanni is looking pretty good. On Yahoo, Bainesy the same, minimum salary guy, really like that for cash. Horford's at 28, probably one of his best spots as well on Yahoo. I don't like the price of Yanni, not a fan of Middleton or Tatum. Jaylen Brown, probably a little bit too overpriced on Yahoo also. I'd consider the Muppet at 16 bucks as a tournament sort of a player also. Alright, let's move on to the next game of the day, which is going to be the Golden State Warriors hosting the San Antonio Spurs in Game 5. The Warriors lead 3-1. The Spurs obviously won game four there. There's not going to be a huge amount to take out of that game. If everyone's saying the Warriors weren't really trying, they still played 42 minutes of Klay Thompson, 41 minutes of Kevin Durant, and 42 minutes of Draymond Green. If you're purposely trying to lose a game so you can extend a series so Steph Curry gets an extra breather, you don't play those guys 42 minutes to expose them to a risk of injury. That's just absolutely stupidity if you were doing that, and they weren't doing that. Their rotation's fairly solid at this point. Iguodala playing high 20s as the starting point guard. Everyone else, you know, the roles are fairly set with Jordy Bell out of the rotation. For the Spurs, they went with something that's a little bit different. More minutes for DeJounte, more minutes for Tone Parker at the expense of Davis Bertans, and Bryn Forbes was out of the rotation completely. We also saw a little bit more playing time for Kyle Anderson, while Rudy Gay, yeah, did pretty well in his 37 minutes. Interesting to see exactly what they go for in Game 5, whether they bring Bryn back in, whether they limit Murray, but that would have been the pattern through the first three games. It just didn't hold there for Game 4. If we have a look at this one from a DFS point of view, the Warriors are favored by 11. The total is 204.5. So, yeah, real blowout potential here, according to Vegas, which is going to, yeah, I guess, sour things from a DFS point of view. Pat Mills is a point guard at 4,600. I'd consider him for a tournament spot. Has been up and down, mostly down, but, yeah, not feeling super strong. Well, DeJounte at 5,000. Quinn Cook at 3,800, Shawnee Livingston at 4,000, Tone Parker at 3,500. Very little interest in really any of those point guards. For the shooting guards, Klay Thompson's at 6,500. A disappointing performance from him in Game 4, no doubt, but I feel pretty good that he's going to get back to 30 and be a strong, strong cash play. Well, Dan Green at 4,000, just it's not happening for him. No interest there at all. Manu's at 4,500, a really strong game four from Manu. I'm not ready to put my eggs in the Manu basket, so I don't think that that's the way to go. I love the small forwards in this one. Durant at 10-9 is super strong. Rudy Gay at 6,700, I like also. He's averaging 29 over the last three. And Iguodala, who's a small forward, but obviously is the starting point guard, at 4,700, and he can very easily get you 30 here. Only had 15 in game four. Most of the Warriors struggled. We saw that. I think that Iguodala is fine at 4,700. So a bit of small forward value there. You got Kyle Anderson down to 3,700 as well. Not feeling confident with that. For the power forwards, David West, no. Draymond's at 8,200. And Draymond's been a guy who's been consistently getting you around that 40 mark, which is absolutely fine. That's pretty good value. So I don't hate using Draymond. They have bumped his salary a little bit, which turns me off slightly, but I still think he's fine. Kevon Looney at 3,700 is a tournament guy, while LaMarcus at 9,300, a really strong, stable floor cash guy. Like him quite a bit for cash. You got Bertans as well, but no. Center, Pau Gasol and JaVale McGee. No to Pau. Huge no to Pau. As for JaVale at 4,200, look, he had value as a 38 to 3,900 sort of a guy that could get you 21 to 22. Those numbers have dropped a little bit. The salary's come up. I'm not sure that JaVale looks all that good as a DFS option over on FanDuel. This game in general, not looking like the greatest game from a DFS point of view. Let's look at it on DraftKings to see what is different. Yeah, the price of Rudy Gay is sensational, $5,900. You almost have to use him there. Love Durant, love Clay, Iguodala, Aldridge, and JaVale comes in at 38 on DraftKings, and that's the sort of pricing I'm talking about, and totally okay to use that as that cheap center option and build around that, much like an Aaron Baines I talked about with Boston, or you'd go with a Thon McCur if the Muppet is out. Not much else really too different in terms of the pricing across FanDuel and DraftKings for this game is fairly similar in terms of where the value lies. You could consider David West a little bit more on DraftKings. He's a $3,200 guy, and he's getting you about 16 to 17 most nights, which is fine value at that price. So he comes in and perhaps can be that cheap anchorish cash guy that you can then build around with some bigger salary players. On Yahoo, I think there's a lot of value in this one on Yahoo. Yeah, Pat Mills is minimum. You got JaVale at minimum. Rudy Gay at 18. I like Iguodala at $12. I like Clay. I like Draymond. I like KD. I like Aldridge. And KD and Aldridge are two of my better high-priced guys on Yahoo for this Tuesday slate. So look, the value is a little bit different on Yahoo than what it is over on DraftKings and FanDuel. All right, we have got one more game to get to. It's another potential blowout, according to Vegas, another closeout game here with the Heat going back to Philadelphia for Game 5. The Sixers are up 3-1. The spread is the Sixers by 10, and the total is the highest of the night at 211 points. The last time these two teams met in Game 4, it was more of Ben Simmons, a triple-double with 4 steals. JJ Redick got the shot going, while Joel Embiid struggled offensively big time, 2 of 11, but still had 5 blocks and 14 and 12 in a big double-double there. Bob Cove's minutes were limited, but he was restricted by some fouls, so don't read too much into that. But interestingly, we had no Markel Fultz, with TJ McConnell and Justin Anderson getting those minutes. We also had Ersan Ilyasova's playing time drop, expectedly, with Joel Embiid getting those 31 minutes. On the Heat side of things, Joshie Richardson suffered a shoulder injury. He was able to come back into the game, but he is listed as questionable in this one. He was excellent, obviously, in Game 4 with 7 assists and 7 steals. And if he happens to miss this game, Justice Winslow, in my mind, would be the likely replacement. And you'll also see Scooter Magruder getting a fair chunk of minutes, but he is one of the worst fantasy and DFS options out there. So not going to be a guy that you're super into. Big game from Goran Dragic. Hassan Whiteside actually had his best game of the series and stayed on the court for 26 minutes. And I think that could potentially happen a little bit more with Embiid there. He played big minutes against Embiid through the regular season, and he could be a higher minutes guy. In Game 3 was an anomaly, but he got 2 fouls in about the first 2 minutes, which restricted his overall playing time. Dwayne Wade also just a shit ton of shots, 40% usage, 22 shots, 25 points in 26 minutes. That could always happen, but Wade's been very up and down throughout this series. You know, shit game 1, good game 2, shit game 3, good game 4. Is the pattern going to repeat? I wouldn't be expecting it, but I'd expect more bad game than good game. And Jimmy Johnson was strong again, and his minutes are way up as Kelly Olynyk battled some foul trouble and played only 9 minutes, and Tyler Johnson continues to be incredibly minimized in this series, just barely playing at all, hasn't got to 20 minutes once in the series, which is not something that I necessarily thought would happen. Point guards. FanDuel, Goran Dragic, 6,300. He's playing well. Strong last 2 games in Miami. I'd be okay with using him, especially with some of the other point guard value not quite there on this slate. Love you. I do like Dragic here. Yeah, Tyler Johnson and TJ McConnell, your other point guard listed players in this game, and I don't think you want anything to do with them at all. At shooting guard, I love JJ Redick for cash here. 5,600 for JJ. Coming off a 38-pointer in Game 3, he just continues to play well. Now, his upside's probably not as high as what it was when Embiid was out, as we saw him and Marco Bellinelli carrying this team's offense, or at least scoring output. But I still think he's a pretty strong option. While the Duke, Wayne Ellington at 3,600, not interested there. While Dwayne Wade at 5,500, a bit of a price bump from Wade coming off his 37-point offensive point performance. I think he is more of a tournament guy. I just don't have the full faith there. As for Bellinelli at 5,700, more tournaments. I'd much rather take Redick at 56 and comfortably take Redick. Small forward Justice Winslow at 4,500. Looking like a tournament guy if Josh Richardson doesn't play, and if we don't find out about that before lock, then you can throw Winslow in and you hope it pays off. I don't really like him otherwise, whereas Richardson at 5,500, the same boat. You put him into a tournament, if he plays, it could really work out in your favor. He had 51 points in Game 4. Bob Cove's at 65. I'd rather take those cheaper guys like a Richo there, or take a flyer on Winslow, especially in a GPP. Covington's been okay, but I think that's maybe a little bit too high with Embiid back. For the power forwards, Benny Simmons at 10-5, still listed as a power forward. I don't know why they won't change that. He is a absolute stone cold lock, in my opinion, to be used. That could easily blow up in my face, but this guy's averaging 50 points through these playoff games, just crushing it. Jimmy Johnson at 6,100, I also feel pretty good about. While Šarić at 6,400, I'd rather take Jim than Dario, but Dario's been good outside of Game 4. He wasn't excellent. Ersan Ilyasova at 6,000, his value's done. Amir Johnson, no, same thing. While Kelly Olynyk at 6,500, I think the Embiid matchup does put a little bit of a limit on what Olynyk can do, and I don't think that he's in the greatest spot to be a DFS player here. The centers is where it's at. Embiid at 9,500, all about it. While Hassan Whiteside at 54, that's really, really tough to go past. I do think his minutes will be up, matching up with Embiid, so I'm okay with using Whiteside here. It is a little bit of a risk, but I do think that this is the matchup to use him in, and Game 3 was a little bit anomalous with the fouls. on DraftKings. Very similar stuff. Love Embiid, love Dragic, love Simmons, love Redick. But in this one, Bob Cub really comes into the picture at 5,100. I find that really hard to ignore, as opposed to how it is on FanDuel, where I think he's probably a little bit overpriced. I think that's way underpriced on DraftKings. So I like Covington there. Whiteside at 5,500 is priced higher on FanDuel, so I have less interest, but I still think that he can be a useful player here. Josh Richards in at 5,700 and Wade at 58, priced higher on DraftKings and FanDuel, taking a little bit of their value away. And in a big way, Jim Johnson, who's up to 6,600, which just feels, you know, quite high. Even though he's been playing well, that feels like it's a little bit high. On Yahoo, Whiteside, Winslow, and Wade, I think, are all interesting tournament guys, whereas Embiid and James Johnson are your cash type of players. I think Benny Simmons is too high at $49 on Yahoo. That feels a little bit too high. I know he's been getting you 50-51 a game, but it still just feels maybe $6-$7 too high there for Simmons. I also think that Dragic and Covington are priced a little bit too high over there as well. I believe that wraps it up for all of the games for Tuesday. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to this podcast. And if you do enjoy the podcast, go and leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and find us on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter for any sort of conversation that you want to have at @redrock_bball. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Wesley Owundu.